Hey dudes, this is Michael, one of the co-hosts of Two Dudes in the Nest, the show you're about to listen to. If you are a first-time listener and you've picked one of these older episodes to listen to, maybe because it's one of your favorite games on the NES, I don't blame you. However, I just want to warn you that some of these episodes are 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. And this is before we got new audio equipment. This is really before we even knew what we were doing. But we want to leave them on the feed as long as we can because we want to have plenty of episodes for people to listen to. I just want to give a fair bit of warning before we get started. If you're an older listener and you're going back to listen to an episode again, you may hear something new because right before the episode starts here, we're going to have an advertisement, which is probably not what you heard the first time through. But now we started doing ads in our shows, so we're going to have an ad here. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. And if you do enjoy, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to as many episodes as you can. It always helps us out. And tell a friend too. That'd be nice. Enjoy the show. Hey, Justin.
What's up, man?
Not much. See, I thought let's go ahead and record a little Flintstones Patreon pick for Dude Gale. Good idea, right? Huh? Don't you think?
Yeah, do a little Flintstones, talk about the moon being in front of the
Yeah, let's not do that, actually. Sorry. Sorry, Dude Gale. I screwed up. I messed up our schedule. And I put the music for the Flintstones on last episode. But today, we're actually talking about Robin Hood.
And the moon being in front of the
And the
sun.
moon being in front of the sun. Yeah,
And all right, yeah.
I feel like everybody else is talking about it. Shouldn't we talk about it?
Yeah, except for when we talk about it, it's probably going to be like a week after it happened when people actually listen to our episode. So do you guys remember how the moon went across the sun? That was so cool, huh?
Oh,
good
wow.
Stuff. And it only happens like every like 1,000 years, but you totally missed it. Yeah. So yeah, this is nothing you could do now.
Except I just read the other day that we're going to have another one in like 2024.
Yeah, it's not that rare, actually. It'll be rare for, I don't know what part, by the way, Josh Witt's on the episode with us. Josh, yay, welcome, Josh.
Yay, hey.
Hey, what's
I
up?
I said we're talking about Robin
He's
Hood.
An eclipse expert.
Yeah, he's the eclipse expert.
Yeah, that's right. It's made by Mitsubishi. You can get the V6 and the V8.
Can you get that in a V8? That'd be
probably not.
No, I think it's probably four-cylinder in a V6.
Yeah.
Anyways. No, we got Josh on. We're talking about Robin Hood. This is actually an episode that's a long time coming because Josh and I talked, I think, when we first started the Two Dudes in This podcast. I said, hey, Josh, what show would you like to come on besides Ninja Turtles? Because you're always going to come on for Ninja Turtles. But he's like, I'd like to come on for Robin Hood. I said, sweet, we'll make that happen. And then, what, almost 3 years later, we're finally making it happen. But
that's right.
Anyways, Two Dudes in the Nest.
It's totally going to be worth the wait.
Better late than ever.
It's definitely going to be worth the wait because it's going to be better now that we're experienced podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying, Justin? Speaking of worth the wait,
you know what only happens every so often?
An eclipse.
Oh.
Bringing it back.
I'm just gonna keep bringing it back all episode.
Oh. Like an eclipse, this game could totally burn out your retinas.
It's true. Now, the legitimately though, we were almost talking about it, but the eclipse does happen more frequently. And I was saying, what part of the world you're in, Josh? Or what part of the United States? I know you're in the U.S., but the totality happens once every like 100 years in every location, but it happens like every 18 months across the world somewhere, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I am in Michigan. I'm about an hour north of Detroit. So, unfortunately, I will not have the train, but I do live right by an airport. So, if we hear an airplane, and then you hear an airplane, maybe I'll be in business.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sweet.
That'd be a really fast airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so the eclipse is great down here. We got the full totality. It was dark. Everything was wonderful. The world did not come to an end. I'm assuming it didn't. If you didn't hear this episode, then it probably didn't come to an end. So,
no. Or maybe there's like one person.
They've got like an old iPod, like, what was that? That I Am Legend movie?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got like an iPod, and for like, yeah. He's be listening to us. That's what I'd be doing.
If you were the last person on Earth right now, and you're listening to us, thank you. I'm really surprised. I knew it'd have to be a Two Dudes listener that would be the last person alive, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You ever watch that show? Last Man on Earth.
No, I've kind of wanted to, but I never did.
I think you should watch it because your sense of humor is similar to mine, just kind of that dumb humor.
Uh-huh.
And it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Well, speaking of my sense of humor, one of my favorite movies of all time is I can give thanks to the movie that this game is based off of, because my favorite movie, while not Robin Hood Prince of Thieves, is Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Right.
And that is a mockery of the movie that this game is based on.
I mean, that movie's great. It's good. I mean, if, you know, Kevin Costner's backside doesn't do for you, then you can at least see guys in tights. So, I mean, you got one of the two. Yeah. We'll get it done.
I mean, I don't know a single person who's Kevin Costner's backside wouldn't do it for him.
Yeah. Right.
Neither do I, but, you know, we try to keep it open-minded.
Yeah, there's got to be somebody out there.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know.
So let's talk about the game then, maybe a little bit here. Justin, you got some history on this game for us?
I do, a little bit. So, Robin Hood Prince of Thieves was brought to you by Sculpted Software, which Sculpted Software, they look like they published a lot of games for the SNES, but they didn't really make a whole lot of games, including one game that they brought out for the Atari, Mario Brothers.
Really?
Interesting.
And they also brought the Mortal Kombats to the SNES system, which, you know, that is debatable about whether it's better for the SNES or the Genesis.
I don't think it's debatable. I think it's definitely better on the Genesis.
Yeah, that's true.
If it was on the NES, it would be better.
Yeah, definitely. Right, clearly. Right.
Yeah.
Between the SNES and the Genesis, we're going to have to throw the germs a bone on this one. I think Mortal Kombat, if any game.
Yeah. Sega got it on that one.
Yeah, mainly because of the blood, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta have the blood.
You have to have it.
But here's a game they brought that I think you guys are going to enjoy. They brought Space Jam to the Sega Saturn.
Really?
Thank you.
Let's give this company a round of applause for that.
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, I just watched that movie, actually.
It's a good movie.
I used to love that movie, man. That was, like, so fun to watch. I think my favorite scene in that movie is, like, they're playing that guitar, like, and their heads snap back and forth between Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam. They, like, bust out guns. And that. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that scene. That's, like, that makes the movie for me. It's great.
I tell you, one of my favorite scenes, and it's not even a scene a lot of people think is funny, but it just cracks me up. And there's a scene where they're in the game, and here comes Foghorn Leghorn. He's dribbling the ball down the court, and he's just singing, "I wish I was in the land of cotton." And it's just like, it's so random. He's just dribbling down the court singing that song.
He may be my favorite Looney Tunes character. Foghorn.
He's really up there.
I still quote that movie to this.
Nice.
Yeah, but the part where Daffy Duck gets hit in the head and he gets all dizzy and cuckoo and he goes, "I don't want to go to school today. I want to stay home and bake cookies with you." I still say that all the time. My wife, she can't stand it, but that's okay.
And speaking
of dizzy, I have a thing to come back on that, a tangent.
Yeah.
Okay. Now?
Now is fine.
Okay, do it.
All right, cool. So, circling back to I was asking about your medical specialty there, Justin. Mm-hmm. You said you're going for internal medicine and then cardiology?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, if you want to do a subspecialty like cardiology, you have to do internal medicine first.
Okay. Very cool. That's interesting. I didn't know that. I saw a neurologist and I have been diagnosed with it is vestibular neuritis.
Mm.
So I was at work and I was going from one meeting to another. And this was like 2 weeks ago on Friday. I'm going from one meeting to another and I just noticed my gait or my step is a little off. Mm. You know, like just a little wobbly, almost like, you know, when you go and you have too many adult beverages and you go to get up and go to the bathroom, and you're like, whoa. Hold on a second.
I have no idea what that feels like.
Yeah, me either. I've never done anything like that.
But this was...
this is family-friendly show.
And this was during the workday, so I had a lot of reason to be suspect. No. So I hadn't been drinking like anything, and I was like, man, that was weird. So I sit down in the meeting, and then about 10 minutes later in the meeting, I'm sitting down, and I just got super dizzy. Like, felt like the room spinning and everything. It was weird. I was like, maybe I'm having a stroke. I don't know. Well, first I thought either my blood sugar is going crazy or my blood pressure is going crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I can't check those. I'm at work. I decide I probably shouldn't drive home, go to my car, lay down, wake up an hour later, and I am, like, totally worse. Like, I feel like I'm on a ship that's just going nuts on the sea or something mm-hmm. like that. So mm-hmm. I couldn't walk straight, couldn't even keep my eyes open. My buddy drives me to the urgent care, and they say it's vertigo. Mm-hmm. And then, so they're having me do Epley maneuvers to try to get rid of these crystals supposedly in my ear. Mm-hmm. And it took like a week to get to the neurologist. And then they find out it's probably not that. It is vestibular neuritis, which is inflammation of the nerve and the vestibule.
Yep.
Whatever. Yeah. Very crazy stuff. So
isn't that part of the church, the vestibule?
Yeah.
So vestibule is just room, and room, it's referring to the inner ear.
Ah,
but go ahead. Yeah.
So it was scary though. I mean, I went from like just being at work to like can't even walk to the bathroom without like falling over. Couldn't keep my eyes open for a while, like and dizzy. Couldn't. And right now, the way they were able to diagnose it was the exercises were helping, but didn't really cure it. And they noticed my right eye, it would just keep jumping. It would go like crazy, like when I'm reading or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, your eyes kind of jump to match the words. Well, my left eye would stop, my right eye would keep going. So it was very crazy. Yeah. So that's kind of what pointed him to it. So it's hard for me. Like, I can read. No. I can read. I swear I can. I can read, but if I read for more than a few minutes, like, I get really dizzy because my eye keeps going. It's really crazy.
Huh. But if it's inflammation, that means it'll eventually just go away?
Yeah, they gave me some steroids to try to help. Yeah. But, they say sometimes the steroids help, sometimes it doesn't. It's a virus, I guess. So at least that's what they're hoping for. They're also doing an MRI of the brain tomorrow just to make sure. So if I'm a little off, you'll know why.
Yeah.
But, yeah, craziness. So
we got our fingers crossed for you.
Yeah.
I hope that MRI turns out okay. I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
But, you know, vertigo, vestibular neuritis, both similar symptoms, obviously. And I really feel for anybody that has it because it's terrible. It's terrible.
It is the worst.
I've not had it myself, but I've seen many patients with it. I've had family members with it. And it's a very, very wicked thing. So, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the eye. A lot of people don't realize this. When you're dealing with somebody with vertigo or vestibular neuritis or something like that, you won't get much of a diagnosis from their ears. There's not much testing you can do in an ear, all right? Test their hearing. You can test, you know. But if you can watch their eye movements, and that's going to give you the diagnosis from an ear pathology, because the movements of your ear is what basically is our position in time and space, right? Our position in space. So it also controls our eyes, so that when we feel ourselves falling or something, our eyes will turn to look or whatever. So you can do these Epley maneuvers, and it's really fascinating because I've seen it a few times on patients, but you can rock them back and forth and then their eyes just start switching back and forth.
Yep. Yeah.
If you have vert.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Because we watched some YouTube videos to figure out how to do it, and it's weird. Like, so the Epley helped me, but not because it was moving crystals. I think it helped because it helped me to learn how to manage, I guess, like my brain to get used to getting rattled around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and sometimes it would kind of trigger something for me, but not like some people. It looks like they're going like googly eyes.
Yeah,
when they have it, mine just looks like it's vibrating left and right. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of crazy.
Most people are like you. Most people, you just barely see it. And the ones that I've seen are like that. Of course, you can go on YouTube and always find like the ones that are exaggerated. They're real. I mean, I'm not saying they're not real, but the real shaky-eyed. But, you know, the good news is you get over it. You know, it's... That's something that tends to pass with time. And
yeah.
Get better. So
that was really crazy. I just thought I'd share. I thought you'd find it interesting. Yeah. It's the scariest thing is you go from like going to work every day to like, oh yeah, I've been able to work or like walk by myself in like a week with like no warning, no cause, just like boom. Hey, your life is just put on pause, which is crazy. Yeah.
I remember I saw one patient one time. It's this big, huge guy. I mean, he was like a six, you know, probably like 6'7", but you know, just a big, thick guy. And he was like, I mean, he was just like, he couldn't walk because he was just like, you know, everything was pretty spinning.
Yep. And, yeah. That's pretty much where I'm at. I mean, it's crazy. I've got, my wife was like wheeling me around in a wheelchair today. And it's like, because if I stand on my own, like I'll fall over. Like I can't. I gotta hold on to something. Or yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to Two Dudes and a Medical Diagnosis.
It also explains why Josh is laying on the floor.
Yeah. Also explains why he wanted to play Robin Hood, but then he is. Speaking of which, are we done with history? Have we got more history?
Just a little bit. I'll tighten it up a little bit. It was also developed by Bits Studios and published by Virgin Games. This is our second game that we talked about. It's a Virgin game, right?
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about at least one. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't either.
I could have sworn I stuck this in there before in my NES, but...
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Okay. And... based on the film of the same name, of course, it was actually featured on a cover of Nintendo Power.
Yeah, but I asked the Nintendo Power guys again. Yeah, it was really? there was like a 16-page spread in one of the Nintendo Powers about this game.
But the odd thing was that Nintendo Power came out 6 months before the game came out.
Oh,
okay. I was going to say this was a really late release. Wasn't
and this
it?
Is, yeah. So this is 1991. That's when the game comes out.
And the SNES was out by then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is super late.
I wonder what Virgin had to pay as the publisher to get the scoop on that in Nintendo Power. Because that's some good marketing if it's 6 months before the game comes out.
Well, you know, nowadays, like, you know, pretty much all the video game magazines...
don't exist.
Don't exist. But if you think about them and their later trajectory of video game magazines... it was not odd for a game to be on a magazine well before its release.
Yeah, no, it was not unusual.
To be talked about.
And websites still do like all kinds of preview coverage and stuff. But there's also some stuff that gets under wraps, but has to stay under wraps. But that's cool. I mean, I don't remember having the Nintendo Power, but I remember seeing it. And I remember thinking, wow, this game got a lot of coverage. Because it was like 16 pages out of, what, a 50-page magazine?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really interesting that they would choose to give that kind of coverage to it, especially at the end of the life of the NES, you know, because they're probably trying to get everyone to buy an SNES. That was kind of weird. Plus, this game, like, even the movie, I loved this movie as a kid. It was on TV all the time. I just loved the action. And, of course, Kevin Costner's backside, as we mentioned.
But not on TV.
Oh, yeah, they probably cut that scene from TV, huh?
This is TBS. Wasn't this a movie that came on TBS like all the time?
I remember seeing it all the time when I was a kid. I loved it too. I thought it was awesome when I was a kid.
Yeah, which is funny because like it's obviously not a kid's movie at all. But like kids loved it. And then they knew, like, that's why they marketed the game, I guess, right?
Yeah. It's also not a great movie. Unless you're a kid. That's what's weird about it.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, that is really weird.
So speaking of childhood, Mike, did you have this game growing up? Or did you go on a quest to find this game?
I did not have this game growing up, but it was at my local rental store, and I rented it a lot. I rented it all the time. And we'll talk about my experiences as a kid a little bit later whenever we actually start talking about the game. But I never actually owned it when I was younger. I do remember renting it all the time from the rental store. And then when I got older, because I had rented it all the time, it was one of the first games I picked up when I started buying games as I got older. Mm-hmm. I really don't remember where I got it from because it's been so long ago. But it was definitely one of the first games I picked up once I started collecting again because I remember playing it so much as a kid. So, yeah, I got it. later, not when I was a kid. But I do remember renting it all the time. What about you guys?
Yeah, we rented it. So I think my older brother rented it. So we had, I don't know, maybe four or five NES games, always traded with neighbor kids. And one day they just went to the video store, they came back with it, and yeah, we're like, oh, wow, okay. Didn't even know this was a game. Pretty sweet. And definitely talk more about it in a minute.
Yeah.
Justin, did you have it?
I didn't have the. I never played this as a kid.
You didn't rent the Pick a Flick?
I if I did, I don't remember it, to be honest.
It was there. I remember it being there.
1990. You know, this still would have been like, because I didn't get.
You
like
probably a, always had it rented out, Mike, when you went.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. I would not have had a Super Nintendo at this time. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, could this have been like? Could I've already had a Super Nintendo? But I don't. I didn't get the Super Nintendo or the Sega Genesis when they came out. So this. I definitely would have been relying on NES, but I don't ever remember playing this game.
Well, by the time, let's see, Pick a Flick did, in our neighborhood, Pick a Flick's the one that had it, but Pick a Flick did not come to Loudon until a few years later, so we it would have been like 93 probably, or 94 by the time we would have been renting this. Well, maybe think, it would have been at least a year or two later. So, you, so this, you already had
this is great pod, History of Pick a Flick. I love this. I love this show.
Thanks.
This would have probably been time when I would have went to the trailer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the trailer was still around and the covered, but that nobody was allowed to go to.
Yeah. Trailer probably didn't have this game then.
No, I don't think the trailer did. I think Pick a Flick, when Pick a Flick showed up, they're the ones that had all the games. They had a lot of games. The trailer didn't have a lot of games. They had a lot of movies. They didn't have a lot of games.
Yeah.
So no, this definitely would have came from Pick a Flick, and it would have been probably a couple years later, which means you probably had the Super Nintendo at that point, so you may not have been interested in the NES anymore.
Yeah.
As just much.
Threw it out like an old dish rag.
Yeah. All right, so we played it as a kid, except for Justin. Josh and I both did. What did you think when you were a kid, Josh? Did you like it as a child?
I was completely blown away, so... And we'll probably get into more specifics, obviously, about graphics and sound a little bit later. But so my brother rents it from the rental store, brings it home, and I was just like, wow, this is amazing. I was completely blown away just at even the title screen. It's really detailed graphics. The sound is really, really clear and high quality sound high quality sound samples. It's like it is. And it's because it's a late release in the NES's life. It just really surprised me. I was not expecting the graphic and sound quality and just the size and depth of the game that we'll get more to. But and really the reason I wanted to join on this episode is I'd never heard of it. Like, I loved the movie as a kid, but I never heard of the game, never knew about the game, never heard anyone talk about the game. Yeah. I had no idea it was even in Nintendo Power, let alone a 6-page spread. I felt like this was like a totally under the radar, nobody knew about, and you know, movie games always suck. And you stick it in, you're like, oh wow, this actually looks like crazy.
Yeah, when I was younger, when I was renting it, I loved it, but I will say that 6 or 7 year old Michael was absolutely terrible at it. I rented it all the time and I played it all the time, but I do not think I ever. I know I got out of the prison at the beginning of the game, and then, but I don't know if I ever made it much further than that. I know I got out, and I was like wandering around trying to escape like tunnels and stuff or whatever, that part right after the prison, but I do not remember making it further than that when I was younger. And that was another one of the reasons why it was one of the first games I picked up, was like, I know I can do better than this.
Yeah.
But I can remember playing it all the time, and I could just never do anything in the game. I don't know if it was just because when I was younger, I didn't... You know, you had to read and figure out what to do next, and I just couldn't figure out where to go. I don't know if that was my problem when I was young, or what it was, but I just played it all the time and never got anywhere.
Yeah, it's funny. I had the exact same experience. It was like, this game, it is really hard. It's hard to figure out, and it is hard to play. And even as a kid, it could be, like, super frustrating. Like, I don't think we ever got very far in it either. And I couldn't really read that well when I was that little. I can't read well right now because I'm dizzy. I mean, it's interesting because it melds a lot of different gameplay types, I guess, which we'll probably talk about in a little bit. But there's just something about this game that keeps bringing you back, probably because we love the movie. But I think just the presentation of the game makes you feel like the world's so big that you just want to keep coming back and exploring it more. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think part of it for me when I was younger is, like you said, it looks good. The game looks really good, especially back then. It kind of had that top-down look, but it was really detailed and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the looks of it made me want to come back. And the controls are actually really good, too, or at least I felt like they were at the time when I was younger. So it felt good to play. You know what I mean? So even though I couldn't figure out where to go, and I couldn't figure out how to get very far in it, I enjoyed the little bit that I was able to play. So that's why I kept renting it, thinking I gotta figure out how to get further. You know?
Yeah.
And then you just didn't get further.
Yeah, because I was a stupid 7-year-old or however old I was at the time. But you know what I mean?
Well, and plus the game, the graphics modes and everything, and the way the game playing changes very dynamically, right? You know, like it switches between gameplay modes, and I don't know. Do we normally talk about graphics next? Where do we go?
We can go whichever direction you want to go in. I got a suggestion where we could go next on our transition out of childhood. We could go to the manual that I have pulled up on my.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, nice.
It's got a beautiful sunset. I'll show you guys if you can see.
Oh,
it's like a sun.
Oh, wow.
Really bright on my screen here. But, anyways. The listeners at home can't see this, but just a picture of beautiful sunset, maybe like an eclipse.
Kind of like you guys saw
about a week ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you hold on, Michael. Just take the iPad. Hold it behind your head.
Hold on.
There's our eclipse.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, this huge dome is covering up the iPad.
There we go.
There
total
is.
Eclipse.
Totality.
This is really funny for all the listeners on
totality.
This is great, Pod. This is.
I just took the iPad manual into totality behind my head for anybody listening out there. Okay. Introduction. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. England is in turmoil.
Hold on. I got to interrupt you. Because you skipped, you know, with good reason.
All the
typically,
junk at the top.
you skip the stuff at the beginning, but I gotta bring your attention to something here. Is when the rear projection television warnings and all that. Do you notice something odd about those warnings?
Do not use with front or rear projection TV.
Okay.
And it says Super Nintendo. What else?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
They just use the same manual for both games, I think.
Don't use it front or rear projection. Don't even play it on the TV. Just don't play this game.
This may actually cause your eyes to bleed.
Just close your eyes while playing.
Speaking of which, tangent. there was a Nintendo Power, or maybe like an Electronic Gaming Monthly or something that I had when I was a kid, and I was reading the game reviews of it, and they. There was a game review for an Indiana Jones game for Super Nintendo. And I remember it saying, and I know what the writers were doing, but they said the music's so bad it can cause your ears to bleed. And I, in my feeble child mind, thought, oh my God, video games can make your ears bleed? And I was actually kind of terrified for a little while that there were like games that because of certain sounds would cause your ears to bleed.
And that's why you became a doctor.
Yes.
Prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Actually, that's
the story now.
Yeah, that's the story. Sorry.
That's okay. Let me get my announcer voice back out. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, trademark. England is in turmoil. The King of England, Richard the Lionhearted, is off fighting in the Crusades, and Robin Hood is in prison. Soon, England falls to the rule of the Sheriff, with the black magic of the witch, Mortania, behind him. The Sheriff must be pushed out of England.
Did you say Mortania?
It's very blurry to me. I feel like I have vertigo. What's her name?
Mortania? Is it... Mortania makes me think Tasmania.
It looks like M-A-R-T-I-A-N-N-A. Martina? Martiana? Martiana. That's what you just said.
Oh, Mortiana, yeah. Or a martini now.
Mortiana. Okay. The sheriff must be pushed out.
Mortiana.
We're just trying to derail you still.
That's okay.
I think we're doing pretty good.
That reminds me of our... Yeah. Speaking of, that reminds me of our Willow episode. And this game's a lot like Willow.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
It's a little shorter.
This game's a lot like Willow, but What was the game? What was the name that we gave the guy in the when we talked about? Was it the Mad Mortician?
Oh god.
Oh man. Yeah, I think it was. Remember we were talking about the what was his name? The guy from Willow.
I forgot.
The Iceman from Willow. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think we called him the Mad Mortician.
Mm-hmm. Warwick. Mm-hmm.
So we'll just call this witch Morticia.
Morticia.
There we go.
Morticia. Okay.
Isn't that the wife from the Munsters?
Yeah, Morticia.
Yes. Well, no, that's the Addams Family, right?
Wow, we're getting way off.
Addams Family is Morticia, right? Munsters is something else.
Elvira?
Elvira, sure.
I gotta look it up.
Okay. While you're looking it up, let me finish the story here.
Announce your voice.
Okay, the sheriff got to be pushed out so that England can return to its original state. You are Robin Hood of Locksley. You were fighting in the Crusades when your friend, Peter Dubois, was captured and imprisoned for stealing bread. Unable to stand by and watch the brutal interrogation Peter was forced to endure, you attempt to take blame for the crime.
Was it rye bread?
Now you are in prison with Peter, awaiting your turn to be interrogated. You must rescue your friend and escape the horrible fate that awaits you both. And you must save England. I don't remember the movie very well. I thought about rewatching it for this. What? Her name was Lily?
Her name was Lily.
Wow. That's anticlimactic. All right. So I don't remember the plot of the movie all that well, but was Robin Hood really in prison? That dank, nasty prison that he was in the movie for stealing bread?
Yeah, they were like whipping him and stuff, and he was like, poppy seed! Multigrain!
It was just Wonder Bread, no!
Yeah.
What does he go to prison? He goes to prison in Robin Hood Men in Tights just because, right?
I don't know if they explain it. I don't think they explain it in Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's a prisoner of war for the Crusades.
That's what you would think. But clearly says it was because they were stealing bread.
Sesame seed buns, man. That's
they get me every time. I just can't resist. Money or no money, I got to have that bread.
Wow. Yeah.
Or maybe this is like slang. Maybe they would steal money.
Oh, money laundering. Bread. That's what it was. But it did bring up one other question. They said the king was Richard the Lionhearted. Let's switch over to animal physiology now. Justin, mm-hmm. I know that cows have four stomachs. Do lions have something weird going on with their heart? If he's lion-hearted, what does that give him?
I don't know. You know, you always hear the heart of a lion. I think that's more of like a
higher ejection fraction, maybe? Better cardiac output?
Maybe. Let's see.
I imagine the ventricles will be larger, allow you to have a larger capacity of blood. Like
the biggest heart of any animal or something.
No, that'd be the blue whale. Have you seen that where they preserve the blue whale's heart?
Blue whales are heartless, dude. If you're a meta blue whale, they're heartless.
I thought that was a killer whale.
I typed also in lion heart in the Google and I got a John Claude Van Damme. Limp kids down,
free Willy, just like deuces. I'm gone.
I typed in lion heart in Google and I got a John Claude Van Damme movie.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Lionheart.
Bloodsport comes to mind, though. Mm-hmm. I got the Kumite song in my head now.
It's 33% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it must not be very good.
All right, so we don't know about Lionhearts. We'll come back to that.
Although the movie Zootopia, the mayor's name is Lionheart.
I saw that one. That one was pretty good.
It is pretty good, yeah.
Back to the manual. All right, there's some controls. We'll leave those alone because we'll probably talk about those in a minute. Just the player screen. There's really not anything super interesting other than describing the different game modes and stuff. Here we go. Helpful hints. Let's see what they have to say about that.
Are they going to talk about the controls and the hints?
No, they're not talking about controls. These are just some things to remember while you're playing the game, okay? Be sure to talk to everyone. Some people may give you clues as to the whereabouts of hidden items or doors.
Creepy guys, strangers, people with candy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Down by the river. There are several hidden doors and items in the game. Be sure to search. They have it in all caps, search. Because that's because that's an action you can perform in the game. says, you will find chests throughout the game. They can be opened in the same manner as doors. Remember, Robin can carry only 6 items, but so can all the members of his party. That's actually a pretty good hint right there.
That is
something you may not think about.
Yeah.
And then be sure to pick up all the quivers you can find, because you will need plenty of arrows. Okay? And then they tell the characters here. This will be good. I like the characters. We'll kind of reminisce a little bit. Robin Hood. He's known as the Prince of Thieves, Robin of Locksley. He is your main character. He's very proficient with the longbow and is also a terrific swordsman.
S-words.
The swords?
The Sheriff of Nottingham, while Richard the Lionhearted, King of England, is away in the Crusades, the Sheriff takes control of England and begins to rob the people. Hey, when you mention Richard the Lionhearted, do you have to immediately say King of England after that? Because every time he's mentioned in the manual here, it's Richard the Lionhearted, King of England. It's like you have to say it all. Say Guy of Gisborne, one of Robin Hood's evil foes. He's the Sheriff's henchman.
You'd think they'd give him a more specific name.
Guy? He's just a guy.
It's just Guy. Gisborne. Just dude.
Maid Marian. Marian DuBois of DuBois Manor. Boy, I can't talk. Speaking of DuBois, DuBois here can't talk.
Today, Junior.
Let's see. And then there's PETA DuBois. PETA DuBois. Maid Marian's brother and Robin's friend. Okay. Azim, who is...
There's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman in the real movie. And Dave Chappelle in Robin Hood Men in Tights. Also one of the funniest parts of that movie.
But he's a Chew.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Not Azim, a Chew.
That's great.
A Jew here?
Hey, Blinken.
Hey, Blinken.
Did you say Blinken?
Okay, all right.
I love that part. A Jew? Like <they're...
laughs> Now, I will say that's there's other people in here, but we gotta do a little bit of Men in Tights talk before I get too antsy. So I did not realize. See, I've watched Men in Tights like 100 times probably, but I've only seen
Men in Tights.
Yeah, just Men in Tights. Not Robin Hood Men in Tights. What are you guys talking about? Talking about just Men in Tights. No. I've watched Robin Hood Men in Tights a lot. And when I was a kid, I watched this original Robin Hood Prince of Thieves a lot. But I'd never realized until today, because I thought, I'm not going to get a chance to watch Robin Hood Prince of Thieves in the movie in its entirety again. So I didn't try to do that, but I did watch the trailer to the movie to remind myself what the original movie was like. And I did not realize how closely Robin Hood Men in Tights follows the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves movie. Really? I don't know if you guys have ever noticed or thought about it, but like all the little things, like the sheriff looks almost the same in both movies. All the characters are the same. And I even remember the part where they're fighting on the little bridge with the itty bitty creek, him and Little John are fighting with the sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a part in the Robin Hood movie, the Prince of Thieves movie, where they're fighting on like this huge river with like waterfalls and stuff. And they're fighting with sticks. So the fact that they're making a mockery of that movie so closely makes it even more funny. And I feel like I do need to go back and watch Prince of Thieves again just so I can watch Men in Tights again and see how much more funny it is.
Yeah, I never knew that. Like, I didn't watch Prince of Thieves nearly as much as I have Men in Tights.
Yeah, so they would be fun to watch back to back. Obviously, watching Prince of Thieves first and then watching Men in Tights.
Yeah, it would be good.
I wonder how long apart were they released? Like, I didn't even really know that they were like making fun of each other. I thought it was just a generic, you know, Robin Hood spoof. I didn't know it was like spoofing that movie.
Yeah, but it seems to be spoofing the Prince of Thieves movie pretty closely.
That's great.
Justin, get on that.
Prince of Thieves, 91.
There's a train. You might hear it.
Oh, yeah. Magical.
I don't know where it's going. I don't know if it's headed to Josh. I don't know if it's headed to Justin.
This is amazing. I'm hearing it in person for the first time. I feel like I'm part of the show now.
You are.
This is like a rite of passage.
It kind of is. If you come on the show, everybody out there who's been on the show before, if you've been on the show and you didn't get to hear the train, then you may have to come back because you didn't watch the show.
It doesn't really count.
It's Robin Hood Men in Tights was 93.
Okay. So it's two years later. That's a good window, really.
And here's why you should never listen to movie critics on Rotten Tomatoes. It's 81% for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certified rotten at 48%.
Really?
For the critics.
I never look at the critic score.
Makes me wonder, like, you know, that's probably one of the funniest movies out there. Mm-hmm. Like, what is, what about, like, Billy Madison or, like, Liar, right? Those are hilarious. I'm curious.
I would bet Billy Madison's lower.
Yeah, see,
I'm going to say the critics would not like Billy Madison.
I can't trust myself. I can't trust the Rotten Tomatoes critic score. I usually just ignore it and go straight to the people score.
Yeah, Billy Madison's just lower at 46%.
Yeah, if you say that movie's not good, you can't judge comedy.
But it's 79% with the audience.
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the game again. All right. So we talked about what we thought of it as a kid. What do you think about it now, Josh?
All right. So I sort of another tangent. You mentioned that the actor who played the Sheriff of Nottingham looked like the guy from Men in Tights. Which he is actually, what is his name? Rick, he's the dude from, the bad guy from, Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. I don't know his name.
But you know who I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So this is kind of related. Die Hard. Now, if you look at Die Hard, the way that they walk in the top-down manner, and you look at Robin Hood, I swear it's the same game engine.
It does seem very similar.
I think it is. It took me a couple minutes. I was like, this looks familiar. What is it? And I finally figured it out. Die Hard. I think there's a couple other things in the game, too, that remind me of that, like the way that you do the combat. Not in the battle scenes where the guys are really tiny, but like in the other ones. And actually, I thought Die Hard graphics were pretty good, except for the whole weird one-legged thing. They seem like they kind of fixed that in this. But yeah, I think the graphics really hold up really well, and the sound, especially... when you boot the game up and you hear that like I instantly can picture the screen, and they have a really smooth animation of Robin Hood shooting an arrow across the screen. I mean, it looks like a movie. It's awesome. It just blows me away.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
There's lots of good, speaking of graphics, there's lots of good like little cutscenes and stuff, and like the character faces, while they don't look like the characters from the movie, they do look like they digitize like an actor's face or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It may not be the actor from the movie because most of them don't exactly look like the person from the movie. Robin Hood kind of does look like Kevin Costner, but the other ones don't really look like Samuel, not Samuel Jackson, but Morgan Freeman or whoever.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman, right?
Yeah. Morgan Freeman, yeah.
Yeah. He didn't really look like himself in the game. Sorry. I really don't get those two mixed up, but I don't know. They're completely different.
You know, Morgan Freeman, Will Smith.
The graphics are great, though. I mean, that front intro screen, really, really highly detailed, looks clean. And then when you start the game, you're in this overhead view, and it's really cool because you can clearly tell, like, the fireplace is supposed to be a fireplace, and the guy torturing somebody with an axe is clearly an axe. It's not like one of those games where it's hard to tell what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like hay laying on the ground, and you can see like the cobblestone floor. Like, it's all really well laid out, and they even have some like kind of glowing from the fireplace. I mean, it's super detailed. Yeah. And I'd say, like, just off the top of my head, it's hard to think of another NES game that portrays like not like weird animal characters or spaceships, right? We're talking people. This one actually depicts people very well, like human beings, because not every NES game has human beings, right? Some of them are like aliens and stuff like that. But then it transitions, you know, like you were saying, the cutscenes where they show people up close, they've got they kind of got like a musical riff, right, that plays every time. And like they get a little transition, and they're just super detailed. And then when you go into the battle scenes, it kind of zooms out to like a Smash TV version, you know what I'm talking about, where the guys are really tiny.
You're talking about the big battle scene.
Yeah, the big battles. Yeah,
because we should probably mention, like, okay, so the game is a top-down for the month. Let's just go through kind of what the game is, as far as gameplay-wise, mm-hmm. so people don't get confused when we start talking about stuff like you're about to talk about.
All right.
But so basically, the game is, for the most part, it's top-down. Kind of like Josh was saying, it's kind of similar to Die Hard, the way Die Hard looks. But it's a top-down mm-hmm. kind of action-adventure with a lot of RPG elements. There's experience to get. There's equipment to equip your guy with. Like, you can go to the pause screen and you can actually pick, like, if you think like
Ultima or something?
Yeah, Ultima, where you actually, there's a character and you can put the items on the character. That kind of, mm-hmm. that's how the inventory is laid out. So you put that, the buttons correspond to which hand you're using during the top down stuff. So like A button's right hand, B button's left hand, that kind of thing. So basically, whatever you put on him is what he's going to use. And so the gist of the game is that top down part. But there's also, depending on how the story goes and what point in the game you are, there's dueling sections where it's like a side scrolling. It's like a fighting game almost, where you're dueling mm-hmm. swords and stuff. And then so the game flips to the side. It looks like a fighting game. And then there's also these big battle scenes where there's more people, but it zooms out kind of.
Right.
It's almost like an RTS. It feels similar a little bit, like an
kinda
RTS.
Kind of like Smash TV or Robotron 2084, mm-hmm. where it's like top down, but all the sprites are really small. And actually, it's impressive how many sprites are on the screen too. Because there could be like 20 guys on the screen at once, all moving. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And then there's also horse racing, which is like a side scrolling, kind of like a... or you got to jump over things and stuff. It's like Battletoads. Yeah, it's a lot easier though.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot easier than Battletoads. But it's also, I mean, it feels kind of like, just like the Battletoads, speed or bike. I mean, it's kind of like an endless runner almost, although it ends. But you know what I mean? It's just, it's moving and you're jumping over things, that sort of thing. And let's see, is there anything? That's pretty much it, I think, as far as the different gameplay elements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, so you were talking about when it zooms out.
Yeah. So it's really cool. Like, so the game, you know, the game starts off, it's overhead and you're walking around and they'll give you clues like you need to free this guy and get out. So you're walking around and you find the sword, you pick up the sword, you hit the button, and the top down view, the sprites are pretty big, about the size of Die Hard, and you see him swing the sword. It's cool. It moves around, controls really well. And that gameplay, that gameplay mechanic works well. And then once you escape the prison, they're all trying to come after you, right? So there's like, I don't know, 50 guards coming at you. The game zooms out, and then it shows your three characters, Azeem, Robin, and Peter. Your three guys are there, and then you got all the other soldiers coming at you, and they show up. It's like Smash TV. They're smaller, and then you hit your attack button. You could see the little sword come out, and if you're Azeem, it's awesome. His sword's huge. And he has sort of a larger swing. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
He's like so much easier to use. But it's so cool because both of those action modes, you actually fight in the game in both modes, and they both work really well.
Yeah, they do.
It's actually playable. It's fun.
My favorite thing about the more zoomed in version is that when you're fighting and you kill a guy and he just explodes into a skeleton.
Oh yeah, that's such a cool effect. That's really
cool. It makes no sense whatsoever, but it is.
It's pretty realistic.
Yeah, is that what I guess I've never really hit a guy with a sword before. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you hit people with swords, and they just burst into skeletons.
Oh, okay, well,
that's how it happens.
So it's actually totally accurate then. Okay,
their flesh just falls off.
Their flesh turns into gunpowder, and then their bones just blow up and go everywhere.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then I guess the other game mode too is like you were saying, like the side-scrolling kind of fighter thing. So, and actually I skipped a part. So you go from overhead view to that side-scrolling fighting view to kill the first guard, right? Mm-hmm. With the axe. And when it goes into that mode, I was surprised, like the sprite for Robin Hood takes about a third of the screen, maybe more.
Yeah,
I mean, they're big, they're really detailed, but the controls are kind of slippery. It's a little bit hard to do, but it's beatable, right? Like,
yeah.
I think you end up like jumping up on the table.
Definitely my least favorite mode.
Yeah.
The side scrolling fighting or whatever.
And it looks like it's going to be so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really, usually what I ended up doing most of the time was getting as low to the ground as possible and just kind of poking at them.
give him a knee stab.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it looks really cool, and like the animations of the swing and the axe are cool. So, I mean, it's cool that they have at least two out of the three fighting modes are solid.
Yeah.
And the third one looks good.
Right. Yeah. So two out of the three fighting modes are fun, and then the side scrolling not much fun.
It's all flash.
It depends on the. I liked how when you go to the side, it's like what environment you're in shows up as the background. So every time you go into that side view, the background's always different. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the last mode is the horse racing stuff, which I thought was just kind of meh. It's kind of easy. It's kind of
okay.
Pointless.
That's my main beef about this game. I cannot get past that stage. So like,
really?
Even when I was playing that, I was playing this a couple of weeks ago before all this craziness happened. Maybe, probably more than that. But so I'm in a prison. I'm being tortured to death. I manage to steal a sword and kill like 100 guards. I kill a huge guy with an axe. I get away from him.
Is this in the game or in real life? Well,
I make it all the way to Sherwood Forest. I'm killing more guys. I finally escape. And then I'm on the horse. And the first thing in the game that actually kills me is a rock. Just a rock. That's it. I managed to kill like hundreds of soldiers, guys, archers, guys with axes, and a rock kills me. And
rocks
like literally
can be tricky.
And I love this. Like this game is an epic music, epic graphics and everything. I'm playing, I'm loving it. Boom, rock, and then immediately game over screen. Yep. It's like you step on a rock, game over. And I've been playing for like 45 minutes. Like it just totally took me out of the game. I was like, what the heck just happened? And it happened so fast the first time because, you know, like you're trying to get acclimated to the controls.
Yeah.
Because they don't give you any. This is Nintendo hard, so you don't get a tutorial, right? It's like,
yeah, they don't give you any guidance. It's just like, oh, you're running away from people on a horse.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, get on the horse. And I'm like, oh, OK, well, I can't think of a single NES game that has a horse riding action sequence. I don't think they're actually going to do this. I think I'm going to hop on the horse. They're going to be like, OK, cool. We're going to go back to overhead. You're wherever else now, right? Like, I was totally expecting it to just, like, take me to another level. But no, it switches to yet another game mode, and the horse is already going. And you just, like, you have to figure out the controls within about 3 seconds, or you die by a rock.
Here we go!
And I think you're able to continue, and I think I continued, and I was like, OK, I don't know what killed me last time. I was like, it was a rock. And then the third time, I just missed the jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it killed me.
If we haven't given people a good enough idea yet, this game is, if you can get behind the story and get behind the linearity of it, because it is a pretty linear game,
mm-hmm.
Especially for something that claims to be kind of RPG-like, but this was early RPG, so it's very, very linear. But it's a very dynamic game, whereas things change constantly. You're always doing something different in it. And that's probably its greatest asset. Even though it's one of those games where it's greater than it's the sum of all its parts. I can't remember the phrase, the catchphrase for that.
Yeah.
But each little piece is not great. There are a couple great parts, but each little piece is at least manageable. It may not be a ton of fun, but it's at least it's either easy enough to get through. Sorry, Josh. Or if it's
I can't jump a rock.
Or it looks good and you can get by, you know. So it's easy to get through the parts. And then it tells a somewhat compelling story, really. I mean, for an NES game, of course, and the source materials, you know, some people might, you can take it or leave it. But the game actually does a little bit better job of presenting the story than the movie does to me. I think the movie's kind of silly. But the silly story from the movie actually works in a game, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was really blown away. I mean, just the scope of what you're trying to do on the NES, like, it's funny to say this, but the inventory screen really impresses the heck out of me. Like, the music on the inventory screen is awesome, by the way. I love that tune they play. But you've got 6 items you can hold, and then you can equip something around your neck in either of your hands, and I think a medallion on your chest, and you've got a full inventory system. So you're talking, like, multiple icons. It's pretty sophisticated for the NES, right? Well, you know, like in Zelda, it's like, you pick up a weapon and it's equipped to one of your buttons, right? And it's hard to tell, like, what all do I have and how all can I use it? But, like, you pick up a loaf of bread, an apple, a dagger, and a piece of armor, and you actually see the armor as an icon in an inventory screen. You click on it and you put it on your chest, like an Ultima game on an NES, which is, like, huge. And then it actually shows you stats to show, okay, this increases your defense to like 2 or whatever. And like, it's really detailed. It's got everything on there. And like, I can't really think of very many action. It's literally an action RPG, which is a really cool genre on the NES. There really, I don't think there really are a ton of those. I mean, you could kind of say Zelda sort of is, but like, I don't know, you actually level up in this. You don't just like get heart containers, but like your stats go up and it's based on which weapons you use.
Yeah, you know what this game kind of feels like a little bit to me, and this may be a stretch, but it almost feels like an early Baldur's Gate type game.
Yeah.
You pick up, you kind of pick up loot and you gain experience and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like Secret of Mana action. Yeah, it's kind of like that too. So I don't know. This is an early stage of those types of games.
Yeah, definitely. It's really impressive what they were trying to accomplish on the NES, and what they pretty much pulled it off pretty well.
All right. Now for me, this is going to come with a big butt. Okay.
And you cannot lie.
And I cannot lie. So I'm with you. I'm really impressed with what they're trying to do in this game. And I really think a lot of the parts are great. I think the graphics are great. I'm not as on board with you as the music on the music, I don't think, but I do like the music a lot. But this game, to me, at times was either boring or frustrating because it's not very clear. It was not very clear for me the direction to go in. So, as a kid, it was even worse, obviously. But even as an adult, it's kind of, people, you can talk to people, but a lot of them don't really say a whole lot, it doesn't seem like. I would be kind of frustrated.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of like the point and click adventure type gameplay, where it's like you have to figure out what to do next and who to talk to, you know? More of that, like where you have to discover what you're trying to solve and how to solve it, which is interesting because like other action RPGs that I've played aren't as much that, where usually it's like go save the princess, go and kill all the guys on the way, right? And then this one's like escape the broom, you know, escape the prison. You're like, well, how do I do that? Yeah, I kind of have to, you have to use that search function, search, all caps.
Yeah.
That you were talking about. You have to use that. So you have to read the dialogue to try to figure out where you go to search. And again, I didn't get past the rock, the first rock in the game. So I didn't get through the whole thing. But I did experience the frustration that you're talking about. And oddly enough, it was right before that. So when you go to Loxley Mansion or whatever, it's huge, right? And it's not exactly clear what you need to do. So I ended up like searching every corner of the entire property, right, to try to figure out what to do because it's not super clear. And the hardest thing was when they were like, "Go steal a horse, hurry up! The guards are coming!" And I'm like freaking out, trying to find it, going over the whole property, and it was like it wasn't clear. I think I walked up to the horse and like it wasn't going. I forget what you have to do, but it was one of those things, right?
Yeah.
Where you get really frustrated trying to figure out what you're supposed to do.
And that kind of happens more than I would like in this game, honestly. So this game would probably, I didn't do this, and I probably should have, but this game would probably be a lot better if you just use a guide. Just use one. I mean, if you get stuck and you start to get frustrated, you could solve that frustration fairly easily if you just hop on the internet and find somebody who's told you what to do.
Right, they're not really like clever puzzles where you feel like you're missing out. Like,
right, yeah, it's not like when you solve it, you're like, oh, okay, I could have figured that. That's cool, but no, it's more like, oh, that's stupid. I had to hit the A button in this spot instead of that spot. You know that?
Right, like you know how you would have solved the puzzle, you just don't know how the game wants you to do it.
Exactly, and that's really frustrating to me most of the time in games like this. So you know. Take that with a grain of salt or whatever that phrase is too. I'm really losing my catchphrases tonight. But
yeah.
Anyways, it's kind of late. All right, so we've talked about pretty much everything. I mean, I've said all that I feel like I need to say on the game.
So Justin? One thing, Justin, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Josh.
One thing I was thinking about was when you start the game. Initially, you're like, I'm Robin Hood. Where the heck is my bow and arrow? And it takes a little bit to get there, but the sword fighting is actually really, really fun. But using the bow and arrow is even more satisfying.
Yeah.
Love it. I love using the bow and arrow in this game. It never gets old. Love it.
Yeah, it is fun. And the people still explode when you shoot them with arrows. So don't worry. If you're worried about whether or not they're going to explode because you quit using your sword, don't worry. they still explode.
They're still exploding.
And I don't know about further in the game, but I feel like, so when you kill an enemy, they do have random drops, so they'll randomly drop either an apple or a loaf of bread or like a, is it a flagon of meat? They call those a flagon? I haven't been to many of the those festival things. But yeah, they'll drop those. So like it's a different amount of health that you get, but it's pretty cool. So like when you kill a guy, you kind of get excited if you drop something. So you do get rewarded. It's not just like mindless killing, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Justin, you got any last words?
No, you guys have pretty much hit on it.
Sweet. Well, then I think we should probably do some retrofitted trophies.
All right.
You guys got any?
Can
you think of some?
I was thinking about this, like I need to come up with some retrofitted trophies. I was like, I need to come up with some like Nick Stevens dad jokes. And I was trying to think of like Robin Hood Men in Tights. And I really couldn't think of any. I was trying to work Abe Lincoln in there, like when you get Duncan or whatever. But I came up with absolutely nothing. Other than maybe dumb as a rock.
Okay.
And that's falling on the rock and dying and not being able to play the game.
I'm gonna call that the Josh Witt trophy.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. Good with that.
Okay. Justin, did you come up with any?
Or
am I gonna be a lone horse on this one?
You're gonna be a lone horse on this one.
As long as you can jump the rock.
Oh, I jumped the rock.
Okay. Tell me this. Wait, before I go back into this to get back on the horse, so to speak. Are there more rocks? Is it just the one, or do I have to face multiple rocks?
There's multiple rocks. You gotta keep jumping. All right, my first trophy, and yes, mine are all Robin Hood Men in Tights quotes.
Yeah, I knew you would come with this. Yes, all right.
Even better.
Okay, the first one is, I'm not supposed to lose. Let me see the script. And so, that is, yeah. that is lose. That is lose the game. Get the game over.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I like that.
All right. I'm going to go with the next one's called He's Black? yeah, and that is get Azeem. What's his name? Azeem?
Azeem.
Azeem. Get Azeem on your team. Samuel Jackson. Let's get Azeem on your team. It's called He's Black? If you'll recall, that's not me being racist, by the way. That is from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Blinken that says that because he's blind. And then the funniest part is that there's a callback to Blazing Saddles because the Chew goes, why not? It worked in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, that's great.
okay, and then this one's called Men in Tights, and that is equip your person with armor. It's just called Men in Tights.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. After Justin reminded me of the a Jew in here, or whatever joke wanted to come up with. I tried to come up with one during the episode for that, but I can't remember. I guess you could just say, again, that's just getting a Zed.
yeah. A G.
Here? That's all I got.
Those are good. Good trophies.
Thank you. So how you guys want to rate it?
Favorite Space Jam quote?
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I don't have one, though.
That's all right. You have to think of one.
Yeah.
Well, I think we already gave our favorite Space Jam quotes earlier, but that would be reserved for a different game. No offense, Josh. I do like this game, but
how about favorite kind of bread? Because he got in prison for stealing bread.
There we go.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Okay.
All right, I'll go first. Mine's going to be a King's Hawaiian roll because it's a very delicious roll. It's one of my favorite rolls for certain situations. It is versatile. But it's better with certain types of sandwiches than others. Kind of like how this game is better at certain gameplay modes than others. Every now and then, if you get like a King's Hawaiian bun with coleslaw and like some barbecue pork, that is awesome. That is like this game during the top-down part. That is, But if you like try to make a Reuben out of it or something, that's more like the game during its sideways dueling mode, okay? It's okay. It's kind of gross. It looks good, but it's not going to taste good. You can't make a Reuben out of a King's Hawaiian roll. So that's what I'm going to go with for this game.
Wow.
I'm going to go with a loaf of Mary Jane.
A what?
Mary Jane bread.
This is a family-friendly podcast, Justin.
Sir, it is a brand of bread.
Blazing saddle.
I say.
And that's because, you know, Mary Jane bread's okay, but it's not the best.
This is really not your style game, Justin. So no. I know you didn't say much during the episode, but you could have probably been the dissenting voice on the pod today.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a loaf of bread. It's neither here nor there.
Take it or leave it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's mine.
All right. For me, I would have to say probably like an everything bagel. So, and that's one of my favorite kinds of bagel. You know, sometimes
is it a debate for a different day?
What's the difference between a donut and a Danish? If it has a hole. So this is a piece of bread with a hole in it.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, do they have everything bread? I've never had everything bread. I've had an everything bagel.
Everything bagel's fine. I'm just giving you a hug.
So, because it is one of my favorites, and I'm always impressed with everything they're able to fit onto it, and you're always kind of surprised. You're like halfway through eating it, and you're like, oh, I didn't know there's poppy seed in this. That's pretty cool. I wasn't expecting it.
You're always hitting a new flavor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a little salt in there, you know, and it's not...
You fail your drug test because you hate poppy seeds.
You're the one trying to make us eat Mary Jane.
Man. I know, yeah, you're the one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hey, the train turnaround came back.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
It's going in reverse now.
They said, whoop, I went the wrong way. Got to go back. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not the best for all situations, but I do enjoy it every time, and I'm always surprised when I try it.
All right. That's good.
Speaking of that, the train made me think of my favorite great pod moment on your podcast, and, like, it was great because it went on for like 10 minutes when I think Michael was when your wife was printing something. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, dude, that was hilarious. And it went on for like 10 minutes and you didn't cut it. It was like a 10 minute segment. I was just like laughing. Like, oh my God, they didn't cut it. It's still going.
We could probably have a lot more listeners if we cut stuff, but we just don't cut it. Yeah. Our life is a lot. I think our life is a lot better if we're not editing. But
it's for the 2-star.
Our podcast is not.
It's for the 2-star.
Yeah, that's.
I love
she's
it.
She's not printed. Thank goodness she has not printed anything since that episode. Not, at least not during the podcast.
It was like the world's loudest. I used to think Neil's dot matrix ones from the 80s really loudest. No, dude, yours is the loudest.
It's the Canon MX-472, man.
There you go.
Hey, we almost forgot to do something. Is it worth it?
Oh, you know what? That was one of the reasons why I wanted to highlight this game like 3 years ago before prices went nuts.
Oops.
Because I felt like it was a diamond in the rough for the price.
What is the price now?
It still might be because it ranges between $6 and $10.
Okay. All right. I would say it's totally worth it for that. Definitely.
Yeah,
there's such variety in the game. It's really doing a lot. There's some really good RPG top down elements that you're not going to get in a lot of NES games. Mm-hmm. There's probably a handful. I think it's very similar to Crystalis or whatever it is. I would say Crystalis is a better game, but it's also more expensive. So
yeah,
I mean, like 3 years ago, you could find this for I don't know between four and six bucks like every day, because no one. I felt like it was overlooked. Nobody really cared about it or knew it, you know? It was just like, if it was in a box at a garage sale, people would pass it up because they'd be like, I never heard of it. I don't care about it. And it really, I feel like for even $6 or $10, put it in your collection because it's so different than any other game that I can think of because of everything that it includes. I think you get a lot of variety, a lot of variety of gameplay for a short time. I guess a small amount of money.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot. There's also some like Defender of the Crown type stuff in it a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Very loosely Defender of the Crown. But...
And it's hard to get a game like that for $6, right? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're going to this type of game. 15.
Yeah. This type of game on the NES usually goes for a lot more. You're usually paying at least 15 for a game like this. Now, you're usually getting a. in my opinion, a better game for that 15, typically. But this is not a whole lot worse. It's not like heads and tails worse to the point where you don't want to buy it. So, I mean, this is actually still a pretty good deal, especially at $6 to $10. Yeah. I would say it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I agree.
All right. So we all agree. We're in agreement. Go all buy right. this game.
Do it.
Do it. All right. We got some feedback?
We got a little bit on Facebook. So in the honorary dudes page, Ryan Reynolds says, that game was hard. I remember Nintendo Power offering cheat codes for the game, but it wasn't helpful. I would like timer. Yeah, is it this at some point? I'm not real sure what that sentence means.
That may be an autocorrect issue.
Yeah.
Maybe saying he wants to revisit it.
I think so.
Are you guys going to give the cheats? That was my other favorite two dudes moment. You guys were like reading cheat codes and you're like, yeah, I don't know what it does. I'm not going to. That was the best.
Well, that's what happens when you don't actually, when you're playing the game, you don't actually use them. You just read them for right. the first time on the show. You're like, yeah, I don't know what that does.
Yeah, that's great.
We should probably, if we're going to do cheat codes on the show, we should probably actually, when we're playing the game for the show, maybe try them out.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a funny surprise. I was laughing out loud. That's great.
I wonder if anybody tried them. I would hope somebody did. Just from our show. Not like actually try them from reading it on the internet. Try them. Just heard our show and be like, I'm going to try that.
Yeah. See what that actually does. Because they clearly don't know. All right.
I feel like there's a lot of times when people are listening to the show and be like, well, they clearly don't know what they're talking about.
Yes.
Seriously, though, the show would be so boring if you just stated the facts about the games all the time. Every episode would be like 15 minutes. It would be dry and it would be boring. And we would not have any goose poop.
There is something to be said about Amateur Hour.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Chris Vanderhoff says, awesome game. I love it. Tough to satisfy. And due to this being a family-friendly game, I will not read his last sentence of his comment. You guys can check it out.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. I wish you would, like, right now. Okay. Anyway, keep reading. Andy Lewis, I can't say that I've actually played it, but I can't let the germs infiltrate the entire comment section. And Peter Martin says, I've never heard of it. Was the LOZ episode? Okay, this is another autocorrect thing. Was the Legend of Zelda episode the pinnacle episode? LOL. Okay.
Well, I guess it was. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, it is.
Legend of Zelda, that's probably going to be our best episode ever. Unless maybe we do... Well, Super Mario 3 might be good. But everything else can be trash. So, but keep listening, everybody. And go ahead and donate on Patreon.
Yeah, keep the Patreon.
Yeah. On the group page, it's...
I'm trying to figure out what this comment that you can't read.
It says nothing vulgar. But,
I got you. Yeah. Okay. We can't mention it, though. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Stephen Michael on the community page says, I believe I own the manual, but not the game. So someone get this for me from a rich guy, please.
I see what he did there. In the words of Nick Stevens, I see what you did there.
You could steal it from the rich and give it to him.
Chris Vanderhoff says,
no comment.
Yeah, moving on. Chris Vanderhoff gets the same comment. Phil Riccio says, another one of the better licensed games for the NES. Andrew Code.
That is a good point. It's a movie game that doesn't suck.
That's true. Andrew Code said, my only memory is watching my brother play a rental copy of it. We loved the movie and he liked the game and he asked for the game for his birthday, but he got a different game. I remember his disappointment. Not sure if he ever picked it up in the years that followed. That's awesome.
It seems like this
Does he not have it?
I guess not.
This is a really rental-heavy game. You notice that? Like, for us, like, I don't feel like any of us, like, just went out and like, oh, I'm going to go buy Robin Hood. It was just like, the rental store is new. That's crazy.
That's weird. Of course, my parents would be the ones that would bought it for me back then, so.
Yeah, that's true.
And Alan Taylor says, I have it. Don't even remember playing it, though. Lasting impression.
About time to go start it, I would say. Give it a shot. If you got it already.
And on the podcast page, Epic Journey says, the movie was good. Never played the game. Who could forget that Bryan Adams song at the end?
Me, because I don't remember it.
I don't remember it either. The Bryan Adams song?
I don't know, but I just
is
like
it
Bryan
everything
Adams.
I do it for you. I bet that's what it is.
Josh and Michael. That's who could forget it.
Because don't they get like real lovey-dovey at the end of that movie? Him and Maid Marian. I think it's everything
I do.
I
have to
do
find the key for the chastity belt. Oh no!
That's Men in Tights.
the locks.
Hey, well, speaking of this game, I didn't actually make it to the ending, but I watched it. Have you guys watched the ending? It's the worst ending ever.
Is it?
No. Like it shows. I guess they get married, and he's gonna give her a kiss, but it's just like it shows just his head and her head. And his head just kind of floats over to hers.
Is it disembodied? Is it just like
they just phone it in at the end of this game.
Man,
that's great.
It is everything I do for you.
That's what I thought.
So
is that it?
That's it.
We do have a Twitter comment.
Okay.
You didn't call it Tweeter this time.
Not this time. I'm being serious, Josh. This is serious. Oh,
this is a serious episode, sir.
We're trying to be serious on this episode. All right. From Paul and Andy, Power Trip Gaming. One of the best, I say hands down, one of the best NES YouTube shows. Where they're playing through all the NES games. So you guys go check out Power Trip Gaming. Not family friendly. Be warned of that. But it is probably one of the best on the YouTubes. Okay, Paul and Andy say, it's a decent game. It does incorporate stuff accurately from the movie and throws in some extra stuff too. Not great, but good. All right. And Nicola Emerson, the Wii dude, or the Wii guy, the guy that we've been stealing all the music from, says, a decent movie license game from Sculpted Software and deserves more recognition. Plus, the Paul Webb music is quite underrated, like Josh was saying. I agree that it's underrated.
Yeah.
I'm not as big a fan as Josh, but I do agree that it's some good music on the NES, big time. And we still got to figure out, we got to get that Silver Surfer episode. that's only been like 2 years.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Scheduling, you know. I've not been making a very good effort to schedule either. All right. And we do have a voicemail. Thank you guys for calling in. Here we go.
Hey, two dudes. Steve and Michael from Facebook. Long time no call. Calling about the Robin Hood game. Own the manual. Don't own the cart. But that's not why I'm calling. I'm actually calling about the movie from Mel Brooks. His adaptation, Men in Tights. Movie's great. If you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend it.
Never heard of it.
And that's my contribution. You guys have a good night.
Thank you, Steven. And in case you haven't noticed throughout this episode, yes, we have seen it and we love it. I think the biggest takeaway from this podcast is, the game's okay. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. And the movie, the original movie, decent. More of a kid's movie that's not a kid's movie.
Yeah,
don't let your kids watch it because it's really not a kid's movie. But they'll love it if they ever do see it. And then the biggest takeaway, though, is definitely go watch Men in Tights. Because... Yeah. Robin Hood Men in Tights is awesome.
Yep.
That's it. And agreed. Long time no call, Steven. What's up? All right. Let's wrap this up. Josh, what do you want to shout out? Because you're on some other stuff.
Yes, I'm on some other stuff. And I love doing infomercials, in case you guys couldn't tell. Like with that AVS stuff, the three voicemails I left, man.
No, that's good.
I get excited about stuff. I do.
I think there's at least maybe one or two people that got seriously interested in it after you left those voicemails and may have bought it. So
that's awesome.
I think you did good.
They are doing another run of them, so more will be available soon. I think in the next probably couple months, because they sold out of them, and so they will have more, which is awesome. Good. So retro USB.
They may have got interested and weren't able to buy them. So,
Well, that was the thing. Because when they came out, I knew they were going to sell out. And I was like messaging the seller. I was like, dude, I don't think you know what you have here. Like, this is seriously going to be gone. Like, NES Mini gone. And it did. It's there on the third run. So, there is something else I wanted to pitch, though. And I actually just... I'm going to do a little video and upload it for you guys about cleaning NES carts. Have you guys ever used...
Brasso.
Yes,
I have used Brasso. Okay. It's usually my last resort, but yeah, I've used it.
All right. Yes.
It works wonders.
It does work wonders. Someone was posting on Facebook about not being able to get a cartridge to work, and I actually had that happen. The cartridge was like so nasty and black on the pins. I used like a ton of alcohol. It would not work, and Brasso saved it. So if you guys care about your games and want to clean them properly, get some Brasso. It's $5 and it works like magic.
Yeah, it is like magic.
I shot a video up close on the pins and it shows the stuff just coming off so you guys can see, but it makes a huge difference. So
I think it definitely would be, we get that question a lot, actually. We do get that question a lot. So I think if you do put together a video, we definitely would like to upload it and use it, because I think that is a very helpful video.
Cool. Yeah. So. Yeah. It makes a huge difference. Yeah, so anyway, shouting out other things, I am also on the Turtle Flakes podcast. So if you guys like Ninja Turtles, check us out. We're in the Retro Junkies Network. We talk about the cartoons, the comics. We talk way too much about Power Rangers and soft subject, but it happens. and then occasionally we get sucked into Dimension X, which actually on the Turtles 2 episode that I was supposed to be on, there I left a voicemail explaining what happened, but nobody picked up on it.
Really?
So Josh, Josh O'Rourke has like 50 kids. I think he actually has like 3, but to me, I'm like, that's like 50. So so you
don't
guys,
have any.
Yeah, like right. Exactly. I'm like, he's insane. He's got like 50 kids. So like, you guys did the episode and he filled in for me cause I couldn't make it. And I called in either into Turtle Flakes or into Two Dudes. And I was like, oh yeah, we were supposed to be eating a pizza or something. And then all of a sudden, I'm in this house, and there's like 50 kids here, and they're running around like crazy, and I don't know what's happening.
I think we did play it, though, right? I remember that.
You might have played it, but yeah, nobody understood.
Nobody understood what it was.
Because nobody knew that I was joking about him having 50 kids.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
So I will give you guys the same ringing endorsement I gave Power Trip Gaming. While they're the best NES show on YouTube, you guys are the best Turtles, Ninja Turtles podcast in the world.
Wow. Well, yeah. Thank you. We have had some really cool guests. So, you know, Kevin Eastman.
Basically the big brunt of all of them.
Yeah. That was so cool. We had Townsend Coleman on the show, and I'm like, I am talking to Michelangelo right now. I was totally freaking out.
It sounded like Michelangelo.
Yeah, I was like, it was me. I was like 5 years old again, and I was talking to Michelangelo. It was the coolest thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's what's great about this thing.
I mean, you've had everybody.
Pat Fraley. Awesome, yeah. And the weirdest thing is, like, Rob just, like, found him on, like, Facebook or Twitter and was like, hey, can we talk to you? And they're like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's awesome.
They're just, like, so down to earth.
Super nice guys.
Yeah.
We did that with David Crane, and then I think we did such a terrible interview with him. Sorry, David. Mr. Crane, however you want to be called. I think we did such a bad job. Although, he was a great guest. Don't get me wrong.
He was
an awesome guest. He was a good sport. But we were such bad interviewers because it was, like, our, 16th episode or something.
Yeah.
Way early
on. It was
on,
early in the, yeah.
That anybody else I've reached out to now has just been like, no thanks. At least they do respond to me most of the time. They're like,
no.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, but I don't really want to do it. Right. I'm like, we had David Crane, like, yeah. So I think maybe we're just not the type of show that gets guests like you guys, but, you know, it's also hard because there's only a handful of people that we can even reach out to. Because most of the people in the NES era were Japanese, and it's not like they can.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't really get a hold of them.
I think you just need to have.
Get a hold of them. We just can't understand.
Yeah. They may have been saying yes. I don't know.
Have Justin pitch them and ask them if they want to do an interview right now. I'm looking at the video screen. You got Michael. He's sitting there. He's got his microphone. He's at his desk. And then you got Justin. And I look in the background. I see a headboard of a bed. There's a pillow. He's got his arm behind his head. You know, he's laying there pretty comfortable. And then you got the little pimp in the background.
I don't know if this is family friendly or not. So earmuffs, if you have kids out there.
He just looks like he's ready for a good time.
I say this to my dog all the time. So that's surely it's family friendly enough for the podcast, right? I say, Justin's laid up like a sex machine.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, it's like Two Dudes After Dark. He's just like,
yeah. this is what I call the Burt Reynolds.
There you go. I think if you just Skyped some of these guys, like, out of the blue, and they see that, you know, you coming up on video like that, like, hey, you want to chat? I think you get some more responses.
Get some good interviews.
Okay.
All right. You can find us. Where can they find us, Justin? But did you have any other shows, Josh? I don't think you have any.
Arcade USA. William Culver. Great guy. I am not on it. I am on his ColecoVision shows occasionally. I do some videos for them. But William Culver does Arcade USA, goes to arcades across the world, does some pickup videos. He's an awesome guy. He does awesome videos. And he also does the ColecoVisions podcast. So if you like the Coleco, even if you don't like the Coleco, but you like video games, listen to the podcast. It's really interesting.
So he also does the, well, he doesn't do it anymore because I think he finished it, but he did the Channel F Files. That was a podcast about the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did that one too.
You should probably clarify what it is because it doesn't sound good. The Channel F Files. It's about a game system, Fairchild Channel F. It's not.
Yeah. It's a Fairchild. What? Fairchild?
Fairchild Channel F.
Yeah. It's a game system. It's kind of a rare game system, but
yeah,
I think he owned it or owns it and all the games for it, so he covered all the games for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good show too. But maybe if we didn't clarify, it'd be more likely for people to listen to it. It's like, ooh, Channel F Files. That sounds.
We could probably have Justin do the cover for it.
That's right.
Oh boy. Yeah, but no, good call shouting out William. I feel like we don't for some reason we don't shout him out enough. So yeah, good call. All his shows need to be listened to.
Cool. I'll stop now.
All right, Justin, where can they find us? Not that they don't already know, but
yeah. You can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on Google+, and you can always call us and leave us a message at
775-7-RETRO-1, or Josh calls us a lot. Do you know our number, Josh?
775-7-RETRO-1.
There you go.
That's the only way I remember it. Like,
okay.
Because I know you give the numbers, and I can never remember the numbers, but I'm usually listening in my car, and you're like, 775-7-RETRO-1. I'm like, cool. Pause the episode, call on my phone.
It works, yeah.
It works.
The numbers are, I feel like the numbers are useless at this point, but the numbers are 775-773-8761. Or if you're not driving in your car, please don't do this in your car. But if you're sitting at home and you pull up your phone, go to our website, nesdudes.com. There's a little phone icon in the upper, I don't know why I turned it around like I was going to show you, but there's a phone icon in the upper right hand corner, I believe. If you tap on it, it will say call ? And then, well, I don't know if it says ? But it says call. And you say yes, and then you call.
So, great.
Leave us a voicemail. Also, this will come out after probably your opportunity to win Sonic Mania, but you should donate to us on Patreon because we do give occasional giveaways, and you get awesome. We do giveaways on this show too on occasion, but people never get the game. They never call in and say, hey, yeah, you called my name out. I want the game. We have three games sitting here that we've given out on this show, and they're all still sitting here. So anyways, that's it.
So, on the list of things that you can miss out on now that you're hearing this, the Eclipse and Sonic Mania. Two things.
That's right. Two things you could have already missed out on, the Eclipse and Sonic Mania. But we're doing a Sonic Mania episode, or we did a Sonic Mania episode, with the Genesis Germs. And you could have won a copy of Sonic Mania because we're giving it out. This is a weird loop where we're recording before, but it's going to release after. So I apologize for that. But so you'll get that Sonic Mania episode to listen to for your donation at patreon.com/NESDudes. But you also get all the other episodes we've done. We've got at least a year's worth. So we've got probably 10 to 12 episodes Patreon exclusive on there. Not all of those are family friendly. They're usually just off the cuff, whatever we want to say. And
Septic Tanks, that was the best. Like,
oh yeah.
I listen to podcasts all the time in my car, and like it just happened to still be on. We hop in my car and we're going to the store, and my wife is like getting in the car and she's like, "What are you listening to?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm listening to stuff about Septic Tanks." I normally listen to video game podcasts, but now it's Septic Tanks.
Today it's Septic Tanks. Yeah. Today's Septic Tanks. Who knows what tomorrow will hold?
Yeah,
that's right. Why you need to get on there and donate. Patreon.com/NESDudes. We're also going to do in September, that we're super excited about, we're going to do the spend our money on games episode combo.
It'd be great.
It's going to be a good episode. I haven't decided if we're going to get any guests on that one or not. It's just going to be me and Justin, but we'll figure that out. And yeah, that's it, I think.
All right.
Get on that. Should be good. Fun. Hey, I Googled us the other day, just as a last note, because I like to occasionally Google us, just see what Google says about us. And we've covered up, at least in my Google search, the first 3 pages worth of stuff is us.
Nice.
Sweet.
For if you type in two dudes in an S.
What if you type in goose poop?
I would be, if we come up during goose poop, that, like, if our SEO or whatever it's called includes goose poop, then I can go to bed a happy man tonight, but I doubt it.
How much would it be worth to you if I have to work something out with Google? Okay.
I don't know.
We're not in the first page yet.
No.
That's okay. We'll get there eventually.
But we have hazmat sent to Disneyland after visitors hit by geese poop. That was, I feel like I just won at life. Nice. That was great.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to jump over top of that one, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, leave it at that.
Okay, that's been fun. Thanks for coming on, Josh.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, sorry I took
it out for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your support.
Yep, you got it. Bye, everyone.
All right, later, guys. Thank you.